Hello, teachers. Ben Jennings here, and we are in session 10, can you believe it, of our study in 1st, 2nd Peter and Jude. This particular lesson covers towards the end of 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 11. It was probably my junior year of high school, and I was I walked into my English class, I think it was. It was my homeroom, too, so I can't remember which one it was, but my buddy Tim, who is kind of a punk. I liked him, Tim Robbins. He band kid, soccer kid. Anyway, I liked him a lot. Anyway, he was sitting there. This is 1998, 1999, something like that. And he has little slips of paper and he's handing it out to people as people are coming in. And we were talking about something else. I wasn't even barely paying attention to him handing out these slips of paper. And then all of a sudden, I'm like, dude, what are you handing out? And we're having this whole other conversation. What are you handing out? And he said, oh, it's just the URL to your website. I'm like, my website? He goes, yeah, I made a Ben Jennings website. And back in the day when he did that, it was very like low tech, very kind of cheesy. It was actually pretty hilarious. But I was like enthralled with the fact that I had a website, like, because back then, not everybody had one. He was on GeoCities, I think, is the name of the website. Anyway, it was just kind of like the precursor to like any kind of social media. It was like somebody being able to make a website for free. It was like you had a certain amount of domain space. Anyway, why am I saying that? Now everybody's got their own website, you know, between social media, Facebook, Twitter, TikTok, all these different areas. Everybody's got their own place where they can post about themselves. And we live in a world that's, I even noticed lately that like, as I post stuff just in my own personal social media, that, the social media companies are giving people like dashboards to like get more likes, get more, views, like, stuff that used to be like kind of reserved for like marketing your company or your organization is now being used for almost like marketing yourself. We live in a culture that's very kind of very, very self-promoting. And I'm on social media. I'm not against it. And if I post something, I like for people to see it. That's why you post something. But sometimes I can get out of control. And life isn't all about us. It's not all about me. I'm saying this as I'm making a video that I'm going to post on the internet, right? Humility is a big deal. And there's a theme here in 1 Peter chapter 5 of humility. And of course, Peter is writing to a group of people that were going through difficulty, going through persecution, going through adversity. And he's saying to them, essentially, you need to stay humble in the way that you live out your life. And so, we say it this way in the lesson: every believer can grow through adversity, can grow in the midst of difficulty by practicing humility in three areas of life. Now, the first area is in leadership. Area number one is humility and leading. And that's clear here because he's talking to elders. You'll see that in 1 Peter 5, verses 1 through 4, where he says this: the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed, feed the flock of God which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Here he's referring and talking to these elders. The word elders, presbyteros, is literally one term that is used among three that's used in this particular text, in this section, all referring to the same office in the church. He says, elders, that's presbyteros. He says in verse 2, feed the flock of God. That word for feed is in the Greek the a verb form of the noun poimen, which means shepherd. That's where we get the word pastor from. So he's literally saying, pastor the flock, shepherd the flock. Hey, you elders, shepherd the flock. And then he says, the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof. The word oversight is a form of episkopos, which would be like bishop. So that's, he's literally telling the elders to pastor and bishop, essentially. It's all the different functions of the same office. He says, I am someone who's called to lead. I'm called to pastor. I'm called to take oversight over God's flock, the one that's among you, that local body that's there. And he says, essentially, hey, I'm one of you. I'm trying to function the way that you're functioning. This is what you ought to do as an elder. I'm encouraging you. I'm exhorting you. As someone who's witnessed the sufferings of Christ, knowing that one day I'll be glorified in Christ, he says, basically, feed, pastor the flock of God, take care of people. Of course, it doesn't need to be mentioned, but it's probably good to mention that you remember that Jesus told Peter three times, hey, Peter, do you love me? He said, you know I love you, then feed my sheep. So I'm sure that kind of language echoes in Peter's mind as he got that from the Lord. He saw him suffer. He saw him rise again. He says, too, something about their attitude that they do that with in verse number 2, 3, and 4. He says, don't do it by constraint. Don't do it out of just sheer duty, like you're being forced to do it. Do it willingly, not grudgingly, right? But willingly. He says, not for filthy lucre. He's like, don't do this because of what you get paid or to make money or to do it in a way that uses people to make money. That's not why you should do that. But of a ready mind, neither as lords over God's heritage. Don't build a kingdom that you're the king over, like so you can exert your power and have power over people. But being examples to the flock, you don't drive people, you lead them. You don't try to use people, you equip people. That's what we do. And he says, if you lead that way with a ready mind, willingly, being examples, taking the oversight, taking responsibility in a way that cares for, feeds, and loves people, he says, That's all part of that humility. You're putting other people ahead of yourself. You're putting the Lord ahead of everybody. And he who humbles himself in the sight of the Lord will lift him up. That's what we see in verse 4. When the chief shepherd shall appear, that's Jesus, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. So here he's giving an idea about how people ought to lead, and humility is essential for leadership. If you lead with yourself first in mind, then you're gonna do those other things. You're gonna do it for money, and you're gonna do it for power. You're gonna do it out of just like constraint. The idea of like just doing it, trying to do the bare minimum because you're trying to do just enough to get by, rather than doing it willingly because you have a love for the Lord and a love for people. So this is true for pastors. This is how pastors ought to lead. But I think it's true of really any leader. A boss that leads that way, a dad that leads that way, a husband that leads that way, a parent, a wife that leads that way and leads the kids that way, thinking of the other person first, having humility in the way that they lead, are generally the kind of leaders that people want to have. You want a leader that's not just always thinking about themselves, that's thinking of others. And so there's a joy in that. We ought to lead in a way, in this area of leadership, we ought to have humility. Number two, the second area is humility and following, right? He says, 5, likewise, similarly, in the same way, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting your care upon him, for he careth for you. Essentially, Peter saying, this humility is not just for those who have positional leadership, in the church, those who have years to their name. No humility is for everybody. He says, humble leaders, when they're young, become good leaders. Humble humble followers now become humble leaders later. And he literally says God's attitude towards proud people. God resisteth the proud. God, there's kind of like an inclination towards being at arm's distance because of pride. The Bible says one of the things that God hates is a proud look, a proud and lying tongue. That's God hates that stuff. So, but he gives grace to the humble. Like, doesn't mean that humble people don't mess up. But when people have a mindset of putting other people first, when they do mess up, there seems to be grace that's given to them. So he says, humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Put yourself under God. Submit to his authority to put other people first. And what God tends to do is exalt. And then to cast your care upon him, for he careth for you. So what a beautiful, I mean, some of the most quoted verses probably in 1 Peter. We can cast our care on Jesus because he cares for us. That what a beautiful thing. So we need to have humility, submitting ourselves to those in charge of us, following their lead, looking to their example where they do right, following them as they follow Christ. That's a great word. The third area is in walking. And this walking, it tends to be basically he's saying in all of life, not just in your leadership, not just as young people who have people ahead of you, but also just in the way that you, in your deportment in life. Here's what he says in verses 8 through 11. Be sober, be vigilant, for your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. What he's saying is, you are in enemy territory. You have an enemy. This enemy is ferocious. This enemy has your, he does not have your best interest at heart. He wants to hurt you. So he says, be careful. Think about how you live. Be humble. And, you know, an arrogant person just walks out there like bold, like not thinking there's going to be any problem. And that's when they get devoured. And what he says is, no, you got to be humble, be sober, be serious minded. Think about your own vulnerabilities. And when it comes to Satan, resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. There's just this like rising, elevated language there at the end. A prayer to God about us that when we go through difficulty, when we resist Satan, as we walk through this world dealing with the difficulty, that God's using that to grow us as we remain humble and teachable, then God will mature us. He will establish us. He will strengthen us. He will keep us settled so that we can think rightly, and we're doing it all for his honor and for his glory. So there's this humble, right, humble thinking is accurate thinking. I'm not thinking too highly of myself. I'm not thinking too lowly of myself. In fact, I'm not thinking of myself as my primary subject. I'm thinking the way God thinks about my life. That's what humility looks like. And so I think this is an incredible thing. So as we finish up this lesson, there's a lot here that could be applicable to our lives. Some of us are in leadership and we need to think rightly about our positions of leadership. We're not in leadership to be served. We're in leadership to serve. Those of us who are following, all of us have somebody that we should be following, some example to live after, some person to point us towards Christ. And of course, we're all under submission to God. And so we need to be humble in how we do that, be teachable, coachable that way. And then we need to be humble in just walking through daily life, knowing that we've got an enemy, knowing that we are going to go through difficulty, and we need to look to the Lord to to establish and to settle and to strengthen us as we go through all those things. Hope that helped you. There's a lot of great application for ourselves first and then for those in our class as they come and listen to us take God's word and rightly divide it. Hope that helped you, and I hope that you have a great Sunday.